Hello, storytellers and creatives, and welcome to the Write Script Reviews. Today we're going to be talking about a medical drama called The Good Doctor, and it's a TV series about a young autistic surgeon named Sean Murphy, who is originally from Casper, Wyoming. And not only is he a high-functioning autistic, he also has savant syndrome. And he's one of those people who has a photographic memory. He doesn't even have to work hard to be smart. He's naturally gifted. And it opens on Sean's morning routine. And everything has to be just so you can tell that Sean is so organized to the point where it's almost scary. There's a proper place for everything. Everything has to be folded correctly, or else he'll probably freak out because it's out of order. And then we see a photo of him and his older brother, and he walks out of the house and through a soccer field, and some kids are playing soccer, and they accidentally kick the ball in his direction. And the soccer ball triggers a memory of how he was always bullied for being different from the other kids. And his brother comes to his rescue, like, hey, get off of him, leave him alone. And then we're back to reality, and Sean heads to the airport. He leaves Casper, Wyoming, and goes to San Jose. So he lands at the airport, and then the unthinkable happens once he gets inside. A huge sign made of glass in the airport falls on a young boy. The glass ends up going through his stomach and puncturing his skin. Everyone rushes to help. Another doctor examines him. And this is when Sean's bluntness really comes out. And this is why I tell you guys about character. Always make sure that you're showing different sides of a person, that you're showing what makes them unique compared to the other people around them. In Sean's case, he is so blunt to the point where it makes the average person uncomfortable because he says what we're all afraid to say. He's unapologetically honest, whereas other people, they'll lie to appease the feelings of others, but Sean is like, no, I'm gonna be real. This is how I feel, and this is what I know is right. And Sean says to the doctor, you're killing him. And of course, the doctor is an attending physician, so he's higher up, like on the totem pole than Sean, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's smarter than Sean. Keep that in mind. And the doctor's like, oh, he was bleeding out. And Sean's like, no, you have it in the wrong place. He's a boy, not a grown man. What you're doing is you're putting pressure on his trachea, which means he's not currently breathing. You have to put the pressure higher up. At this point, Sean steps in. He saves the boy almost effortlessly, and the glass is still stuck in his stomach. And then it's revealed that he's a doctor too. Like, hi, my name is Sean Murphy. I'm a surgical resident at St. Bonaventure Hospital in San Jose, California. And meanwhile, at the hospital, the entire committee argues whether or not letting Sean work there is a good idea since he's autistic. Now the plot thickens. We realize that Sean doesn't have the job just yet, and it's revealed that there's a lot of discrimination in the workplace, toxic work environment. And when I say discrimination, it's not even necessarily in this case a racial thing. It's about him having a disorder, or him having a different ability, or him learning differently than other people, and they're scared of what they don't understand. And we see the president of the hospital, Dr. Glassman, really going to bat for Sean. And Dr. Glassman even says, I met Sean Murphy when he was 14 years old. I was living in Wyoming at the time. He was and still is an extraordinary young man. Yes, he has autism, but he also has savant syndrome, genius level skills in several areas. He has almost perfect recall, he has spatial intelligence, and he sees things and analyzes things in ways that are just remarkable, in ways that we can't even begin to understand. Those are assets, undeniable assets for any doctor, particularly a surgeon. So we learn pretty early that Sean does have an ally, and what better ally to have than the president of the hospital? It doesn't get much better than that, right? And then meanwhile, we see two surgical residents, Jared and Claire, and they're messing around. They're in a friends with benefits situationship type of thing. And of course, Jared is like, why do we keep hiding this? Don't you want to tell people? Why are we hiding this? And she's like, we don't have a relationship. We have sex, but if you want to tell people, go for it. And that really speaks volumes about their dynamic, that to her, it's just fun, and for him, he's catching feelings. You know how that goes. And then, meanwhile, back at the airport, Sean is still working on the young boy. And what I like about this TV show is that it allows the audience to go into Sean's head and see what he sees and how he processes language and information. And Sean is like, okay, who here has a sharp knife blade 5 inches or longer? Of course, they're in the airport. Nobody really has that. And then he goes to look for one, and before he goes, he says to the doctor, you should start artificial respiration. He's going to stop breathing pretty soon. And Sean leaves, and everyone's in shock because they don't know where the hell he's going. They don't know if he's just leaving or if he's going to go get something. He's going to go get something. And then we see Claire with a patient who is terrified of having open heart surgery. And in that moment, we see her emotional and sympathetic side. So the question is, why can't she show that to Jared? Yeah, that's why, I always tell you guys about the core wound. There's a reason why Claire is able to be open like that with a patient, but with the guy she's sleeping with, she doesn't really show any emotion like that. Like, oh, it was great. Next, There's a reason for that. And meanwhile, back at the airport, Sean asks a TSA agent for a knife and that it's an emergency, and for alcohol to help puncture through the wound and everything like that. And the TSA agent doesn't take Sean seriously because keep in mind, Sean's body language, his mannerisms, a lot of people would just look at him and assume, like, oh, he's not wrapped too tight. Oh, he's crazy. When in reality, that's just who he is. He's not crazy. He's high functioning autistic. So their body language isn't going to be like the average person. And then Sean is telling him, like, no, I need a knife. It's an emergency. At that point, the TSA agent is like, I'm not giving you a knife. Are you out of your mind? And Sean then grabs the knife and runs back to where the little boy is. And at that point, they think Sean is a terrorist or a psychomaniac. And they push him down to the ground and tackle him. But then the boy's mother is like, no, don't hurt him. He's trying to save my son. And so they let Sean go and they investigate further. And then we see at the hospital Dr. Neil Melendez. And he's your typical arrogant, pompous, egotistical superior because he's an attending physician. And you can even see it in the way he talks to Claire. And you can just tell he was doing that because she was a woman. And he even said to her, even when you're right, you have to act like you're wrong. And that really speaks volumes. Then we see Sean coming back to save the boy. He makes the incision and places the tubes inside the boy's body. He's even schooling an attending surgeon on this. And the boy comes back to life and he's breathing. Sean saved him, but now they have to get him to the hospital. And the boy's parents are so grateful. They're like, oh my God, thank you. And they're hugging Sean. But in that moment, you really have to pay attention to Sean's body language. You can tell that he's uncomfortable because he doesn't like physical touch, hugs, or anything intimate. It makes him feel uncomfortable. And then at the hospital, Dr. Glassman is leaving Sean like several voice messages like, Sean, where are you? Come on, we need you here. I'm trying to like plead your case. Come on, like, where are you? And meanwhile, they're in the ambulance. And then there's a flashback of Sean's childhood. And you guys, when I tell you, this boy had a rough childhood. I mean, he didn't even have a chance when he's a little kid, or not even a little kid. I think at that point he was 14. His brother might have been 10 or 11, and their parents are arguing, and the dad is like, I just want him to act like a normal human being, and he doesn't know how. This is the third school he's been thrown out of, and their mother is trying to give Sean the benefit of the doubt because she knows he's different. And she's like, look, honey, we'll find another school. And at this point, the dad has given up. He's like, no, we won't. Nothing's gonna change. They can't handle him. And I don't blame them because obviously we can't handle him either. And then we see how the dad treats Sean. And it's horrible. He's abusive to him. He's mean to him. He doesn't show him any compassion. He's like, what the hell happened to you this time, huh? What's wrong with you? And then he punches him in the face. And it's like, oh, okay, this boy was dealing with physical abuse, emotional abuse, mental abuse. And then back to present in the ambulance. And Sean notices that the boy's BPM is changing. And the EMT is like, no, it isn't. And Sean's like, yeah, it is, but it's subtle. You can barely see it, but it's different. And remember, Sean has a photographic memory. But of course, people choose not to believe him. And in the OR, they're working on the patient who's having open heart surgery, and his abscess bursts, and it's an emergency at that point. Finally, Sean makes it to the hospital with the boy, and he's like, frantic. He's like, we need an echo. We need an echocardiogram. We need one. We need one. And Claire is like, look, you need to calm down. At that point, she thinks he's crazy and weird. She's not really taking him seriously. She doesn't realize that he's a surgical resident just like her. And he's like, no, we need an echo. And he doesn't even get to explain. And she's like, you know, security, get him out of here. And he tries to go in again, but security throws him out. But Claire can't shake what Sean just told her about the echocardiogram. And then we see the flashback of when Sean and his brother met Dr. Glassman for the first time. It's after his rabbit died. And the rabbit died when his dad threw it against the wall, like, get rid of that stupid rabbit. What's wrong with you? And the rabbit died. And Sean is distraught over his rabbit dying. And the younger brother at that point is like, no, we're not going back to that house. We have each other, and that's all we need. And they have an interesting dynamic, Sean and his younger brother. The younger brother really acts like the older one, whereas Sean acts like the younger one. The younger brother actually made the decision to run away and never come back for their safety, whereas Sean is like, well, why can't we go back? And the younger brother is like, no, it's better this way. And that's sad when it's better to be running the streets homeless than to be in a home with your parents. That should be the ideal, but that wasn't their reality. And then Marcus, back in the present, argues his point, and he's head of the hospital, not the president, but he's still head. And he's like, look, a surgeon needs to communicate, not just information, but sympathy. Empathy. Can Dr. Murphy do that? He can't even reliably show up for a job interview. Are you really going to sit here and tell us that there were no equally qualified young surgeons? Surgeons without this one's issues. And Dr. Glassman says to him, we should hire Sean because he is qualified and because he is different. How long ago was it that we wouldn't hire black doctors at this hospital? How long ago was it that we wouldn't hire female doctors? And at that point, Marcus has had enough. He's like, so you're comparing being African American or a woman to being autistic. Please go on. And Dr. Glassman is like, okay, the rationalization is the same. Words like temperament and, oh no, how are the patients going to react? Aren't we judged by how we treat people? I don't mean as doctors, I mean as people, especially those who don't have the same advantages. We hire Sean and we give help to those people with limitations, that those limitations are not what they think they are, that they do have a shot. We hire Sean and we make this hospital better for it, and we are better people for it. And Marcus gives him a smart aleck comment, like, we'd be quote unquote better people spending a lot more on malpractice insurance. And the doctors, at this point, they're operating on the little boy. His heart rate has changed, but they can't identify what it is. And Claire is telling Melendez that there was a weird guy saying that the boy needed an echocardiogram, and the boy's blood pressure is steadily dropping. And Melendez and Claire go and they find Sean outside, and they're like, hey, why the echo? Tell us. And Sean's like, I noticed that there was a slight reduction in the intensity of the electrocardiogram. The heart rate was the same, but the amplitude dropped. Pericardial infusion, reduced cardiac output, which stress other organs, causing them to shut down. And then at that point, Melendez calls back up into the OR and he finds out that, they did the echo and it's normal, no pericardial infusion. At that point, Melendez doesn't want to hear anything that Sean has to say, and he's like, we're just wasting our time talking to you. But Claire has sympathy for him. She's like, hey, come with me, all right? Come on. And they're all back in the OR. And then they discover that there's a concave deformity in the right atrium. It's very subtle, and Sean tells them this, but they all doubt him except Claire, which means something. And meanwhile, back up in the boardroom, the committee is voting to not hire Sean until another doctor comes in and shows them the footage of Sean at the airport saving the young boy's life. Then we see another flashback with Sean and his brother, and they're on an abandoned school bus. And like I said before, the roles are reversed. The younger brother is more mature, while the older one is still childlike. And Marcus, not Marcus, I said it wrong, Sean is like, can we get a TV? And his brother is like, no. And Sean still doesn't get it. He's like, why not? And his brother is like, because we're poor, dude. We live on a bus. And he's like, do you think mom's looking for us? And the younger brother is blunt too, and he's really wise beyond his years. He's like, nope. She loves us, but she knows it's better this way. Then he gets up and reveals that he got Sean a present, and it's a surgical knife. And to this day, Sean still has that same knife, and we know now that it has sentimental value. And then they discover that Claire and Sean were right, and they're able to save the boy. Meanwhile, we see Glassman and Sean eating in the cafeteria, and Glassman is like, okay, just sit tight, stay here. I have to get back to the board meeting. And Glassman goes up to talk to Melendez about Sean. And of course, Melendez, like I said before, arrogant, pompous, egotistical. He's like, no, he's got a serious deficit. And Glassman argues, okay, a child is alive today because of that deficit. And Melendez is like, okay, and tomorrow one may be dead because of it. And Glassman is like, I seem to remember when I hired you, you weren't exactly making the most adult decisions. You haven't killed anyone yet, have you? And Melendez is like, well, thankfully there's a cure for youth and stupidity, time and experience. And Glassman breaks it down. He's like, look, all Sean has is a diagnosis. I'd like your help. I take it, I'm not gonna get it. And at this point, Melendez is suspicious. He's like, okay, what's the story with this kid? Why is he so important to you? And Glassman is like, why not? And of course, Melendez tells him, you're getting too personal, it's business. And Glassman is like, letting things get personal is how we make it matter. Then we see Claire sitting with Sean in the cafeteria, and she's trying to get to know him, and it's super awkward. And Sean pretty much talks about the elephant in the room. He's like, okay, so tell me, why were you rude to me the first time we met, and then nicer the second time we met, and now you want to be my friend? Which time was it that you were pretending? Before she can explain, Glassman comes to get Sean so he can make his case before the board. And they ask him, why do you want to become a surgeon? Then Sean has a flashback, and it shows that he and his brother break into an abandoned warehouse with other kids. His brother dies after falling off a vehicle. I could be wrong, but that's what it looked like to me. And he hits the concrete. And at that point, he didn't just lose a brother, he lost a best friend. Now back to present, Sean explains. The day that the rain smelled like ice cream, my bunny went to heaven in front of my eyes. The day that the copper pipes in the old building smelled like burnt food, my brother went to heaven in front of my eyes. I couldn't save them. It's sad. Neither one has the chance to become an adult. They should have become adults. They should have had children of their own and loved those children. And I want to make that possible for other people. And I want to make a lot of money so that I can have a television. And at this moment, we see that Sean does have compassion, sympathy, and empathy. At this point, we see him being human. That's why I always tell you guys, humanize your characters. That way your audience will be able to relate and resonate. They might not have autism like Sean, but they can relate to losing a loved one. They can relate to losing a pet. They can relate to wanting to help people. That way they'll be like, oh, okay, I have a connection with this character. I want to see him go on his journey. That's how you hook people in. And they welcome him to the hospital as a surgical resident. And Sean goes into surgery with Dr. Melendez and his team. And one more flashback with him and his brother tells him, never forget, Sean, you're the smart one. You can do anything, and I'm proud of you. Then back to present, and this is a really great way to end the pilot because it's showing how, okay, Sean got the job, but he's still gonna have to go through hell because of discrimination and biases. And Melendez says to him, look, you're a nice kid and you're obviously very smart, but you don't belong here. So as long as you're part of my medical team, this is all you're ever going to be doing, suction. And that says a lot about Melendez and his character because You're not even giving him the opportunity to learn and grow. And I could be wrong. I know on Grey's Anatomy, I don't mean to compare the two, but in the show Grey's Anatomy, it is a teaching hospital. And from the looks of it, St. Bonaventure is just like that one on Grey's Anatomy, teaching hospital. Are you not supposed to teach as an attending physician? You can't just refuse to teach him because he has autism. That is discrimination and it's not right. And then we see Sean being blunt, which is what will make people fall in love with him as a character because he says what people are afraid to say. He says to Melendez, "I saw a lot of surgeons in medical school. You're much better than them. I have a lot to learn from you. You're very arrogant. Do you think that helps you be a good person? Do you think that helps you be a good surgeon? Does it hurt you as a person? Is it worth it?" End of episode. So, yeah, you guys, I really think the pilot was well done, and it's showing how even though he got the job, he's not out of the woods yet. He's still going to have to go through the fire in order to stand his ground and find his footing and his place because Melendez is supposed to be his teacher, but he's refusing to teach him. And that says a lot. And then it also creates suspense because, okay, what's going to happen now? Is Sean going to fight that bad treatment or is he going to cow down? And knowing Sean, he probably won't, which is what will make him lovable and likable to everyone. But anyway, you guys, thanks so much for tuning in to the podcast, and I'll see you next time. Have a good one.